and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I am so excited because we're bringing you a two-parter. It's like a not even a to-be-continued. We're going to do two different subjects today with an extremely knowledgeable guest. So I'm so excited to get to that. Thank you for joining. Happy spring. Happy everything to you. And I'm just thrilled to be sitting here and doing this and tapping in. I woke up in just a freaking great mood today, which is, you know, doesn't always happen, right? And when you do, take note of it, because I just felt like I was bouncing around without even any caffeine or anything and just feeling really good. So it feels good to seize upon those moments and get excited about what you're doing during the day. So if you haven't felt that in a while, on the days you do, don't take it for granted. Maybe that's it, because I was just telling Natalie that I had a day yesterday where I was feeling that fear and anxiety. And you know what? Could be hormones, could be caffeine, could be you didn't sleep enough, could be something you saw on TV. I don't know. You know, it could be a whole host of factors, and it doesn't matter. Just taking note of it and being like, ah, there's that. There's my full range of human experience. So anyway, I'm happy you're here. I'm happy I'm here, and I'm very happy our guest is here today, Dr. Natalie Ledbetter. You are a doctor of Chinese medicine, yes. And you are the co-founder and CEO of, or co-owner, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. of Upgrade Labs, coming yes. soon to ATX.
Yes.
Yes.
Super excited.
I am so excited for you, and I'm so excited that we got connected.
Me too.
And as soon as we met for coffee, we just kept on talking, and I was like, please come on the show. Share with me and everyone else your knowledge, because you know a lot. So I, today we're going to talk about sugar.
Yes.
A huge topic right now. Let's answer one little sugar question. Okay. And then I'd like maybe you to share some of your background and your, you know, field of study and things like that, which sure. I know is extensive. So first, why do we love sugar so much?
Well, we love sugar a lot because evolutionarily speaking, sugar is a fast source of energy, right? And yeah. so you eat that berry or that fruit, that energy can go into your system and it fuels you to go chase down the deer or whatever it is that you need to do. It's just this rapid hit. So our body has a release of dopamine when we get that sugar to tell us, oh, you want to do that more, right? Because back in the old days, long, long time ago, whenever we found that patch of berries, our body wanted to make sure that we remembered where that was and that we were going to go back to that. So with that dopamine, that like addiction, like, oh, that was amazing. So that's why we love sugar so much.
Makes sense.
It's like, you know, if you're playing a video game or your phone dings with a notification, that little tiny dopamine hit. Drugs, heroin, whatever, sugar is actually as addictive as heroin because you get that instant dopamine bump. And evolutionary speaking, that was there to protect us. But
And it tastes good.
And it does taste really good,
but
too.
Now I'm thinking maybe it tastes good because of the dopamine, you know, like which comes first, the dopamine or the great taste? You're like, or do we love that taste because we're getting that dopamine?
Probably a combination, you know, because too, again, you... Our bodies were trained to love that sweet taste, again, because it's that easy source of energy. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, like with protein, you know, your body has to take some time to break it down before then you can use it as an energy source. That,
yeah.
That sugar is like right there.
When my second daughter was born just huge and she was like over 9 pounds. And so I know. And that's a whole nother story for another time, but she was very hungry when she was born. So my breast milk couldn't keep up. I had another kid. And so I only breastfed her for like 5 weeks. Whereas the other one, I never gave her formula. I took a lot of pride in that. So I had to like drop my ego and feed her formula. And the formula that I fed her, I had too much sugar or something. It was like organic and all this.
Yeah.
But she loved it so much.
Oh, wow.
She got too fat, too big. And her dad was serving in Africa at the time, and he would only come home every 9 weeks. And he was like alarmed.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I was like, shit, I got to change her formula. But it was the sugar. Like she wouldn't stop, even from birth. And then when I changed it, she was pissed. But she just had to readjust. Was she just getting baby dopamine?
Like, probably, yeah. Just that sweet, that sugar, whatever it was. And depends too whether it was glucose or fructose. That's another thing that we can talk about today is that fructose does not cause you to release leptin like glucose does and other types of sugars. So fructose is in fruit, right? And fruit is
So fruit.
Good fruit to an extent.
Got it. Yeah.
But there are people who are like fruitarians. They just eat a lot of fruit. Or people will say, oh, mm-hmm. I'm so healthy. You know, I eat a lot of fruit. Well, fruit can be very addictive because it's sweet, has the fructose in it. And fructose does not stimulate your body to release that leptin. And so leptin is what tells you, oh, hey, you're full. You can stop eating now.
Oh, really?
So when you're eating, that's why if you have this big bowl of grapes and you're like, oh, and you just can eat the whole entire bowl of grapes because your body isn't giving you that signal that you're full because you're not releasing that leptin like you would if you were eating something with a different type of sugar in it.
Oh.
So it can be dangerous.
So how'd you get here? Let's talk about how you got to what you do now, which is Upgrade Labs, which is a lot of biohacking and all that, and your background and your expertise in the things we're talking about.
Well, I guess I'm one of those people who never knows what they want to be when they grow up, right? So when
same.
When I was a kid.
I can absolutely relate.
Yes. There's so many things to do.
I know.
So much fun. When I was young, I graduated high school early and I didn't know what I wanted to be, but I knew I wanted to do something that had to do with money.
Why did you graduate early? Were you just super smart?
No, we moved a lot. My family moved a lot and we'd moved from this little tiny small fishing village to Georgia. Was there for 1 year in 11th grade and then we were going to move again. And I was like, I'm just done with this.
I'm just done.
So I took summer school classes and I graduated
early. Good for you.
So then when we moved back, I just went to college. But so then I was like, I don't know what I want to do. So I'm in the career library and this book falls off and it hits me on the foot and it opens to this page and I see certified registered nurse anesthetist. And I'm like, what is this? Because I wanted something medical.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. I was like, I wanted something medical. I didn't want to go to medical school because I was like, that's so many years and so much money.
What?
So I read this and I'm like, this is it. This is exactly what I want to do. So that's what I did.
Did you recognize that was really weird?
You know, it's funny. At the time, I did not realize what a miracle that was. But so, yeah, wow. I have done anesthesia now for over 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a good job. I like it. But I'm one of these people who get, after about 3 years of anything, I kind of get bored. And so I want to try other things. I've always done anesthesia. But then I would try different businesses and MLMs, and all sorts of things on the side and never successful at them. But due to some health issues from my children and myself early on, I started looking into alternative ways to help myself. I had really severe migraines, severe anxiety and depression, and this heart rate that would go up to like 168, and doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. They wanted to put me on a blood pressure medicine, but that made my blood pressure so low that I would fall over anytime I would get up. I'd pass out because my blood pressure was too low.
With kids around?
Yeah. And trying to do anesthesia, you know?
Wow.
So that just led me into studying alternative health and trying to see how else I could help my health. Our daughter was diagnosed with celiac disease. She had an issue with some immunization. She had problems afterwards.
Oh.
And my husband was working with an osteopath, a doctor of osteopathy. So he was learning all sorts of cool. He's an MD and he shared an office with a doctor of osteopathy. So he was learning all sorts of cool things over there. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning all these cool things over here. And we brought them together and we're like, oh my gosh, there's a whole world out there of ways to help ourselves and help other people be more healthy and vibrant than just traditional Western medicine. So I wanted to go to Bastyr, which is a naturopathic school in Seattle, but we had three little kids. Billy was deployed all the time, and we lived on Whidbey Island, so I couldn't go. Mm-hmm. When we moved to Austin, I found out they had AOMA, School of Integrative Medicine.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Yes, and I know people who've gone there.
Yeah, it's an amazing school. Sadly, they're closing down in a couple months.
I think I heard something about that. Yeah. What a bummer.
I know. Yeah. It's a great school. I learned so much. So
why are they closing?
I don't know. I really don't know what happened to them. But I had a great education there. So I got my master's in Chinese medicine. And then I went back and I got my doctorate in Chinese medicine. Just the philosophy of it is so different than Western medicine. The first year I had a really hard time because I was like, the spleen, it's not in charge of your digestion. The spleen is a bag that holds like your cells, and it, you know, it's an immune organ and it cleans out your cells. And just the philosophy is different and organ systems and the way they talk about things is different. But as I kind
What's
of...
What's the spleen difference?
Well, in Chinese medicine, they say the spleen is in charge of your digestion. Mm-hmm. But they're not really just talking about this one little organ. It's the spleen system. And it includes like the pancreas with your pancreatic enzymes. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fascinating difference. I just had to get used to that philosophy.
Meaning it's all connected versus it's all this little individual. Isn't that so Western of us to be like, this is individual, this is individual, rather than a grander connected system, which we know it's all connected.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been having foot pain and I'm like, oh, it's in my fucking hips. It's in my, like, it's not coming from my foot.
Right. Yeah. Probably not.
No, definitely not. It's like my alignment. I can tell now that I've really paid attention to it, but it's the same thing, kind of, right?
Yeah, just learning how the body is a system.
Yeah.
And we have multiple systems and how they work together. And with Chinese medicine, we talk about how the liver acts on the spleen and how all the organ systems work on each other. And, you know, one can feed forward and overload the other or go feed backward. And so it's very integrated. You're looking at the whole person. It talks a lot about how our emotions, every organ system in the body is attached to an emotion, like liver and anger, lungs and grief.
Wow. And did you tell your husband, who is an MD, did you tell him things that you were learning there that he was like, oh my God?
Yes. And I would be like, oh, I'm having such a hard time with this. You know, I don't know if I can stay in this program or not. And so I would tell him about it. And he goes, well, just keep an open mind and keep listening and see what you think. And then, I just really came over to their way of thinking. And so it's great because he's Western medicine and I'm Eastern, so we're yin yang, we're together, but he's also very he does functional medicine, he helps people balance their hormones, so it's,
I mean, it's, his advice to you is keep an open mind.
Yeah,
he is, you know, definitely not this adherent Western medicine, you know, kind of thinker.
Yeah, so it's been great. So I still do anesthesia one day a week. Mm-hmm. We started med spas about 8 years ago. And we thought that we would start the med spas and that we would get people in for the Botox and the filler. But while they're in the chair, we would interest them in how to be healthy from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And so we were so excited about that. But what we found is about 80% of the people just kind of were like, just give me the lasers, the Botox, the filler. I don't really want to change my diet and stop eating sugar and things. And that's fine. So my husband is still running those.
It's fine. It's just surprising.
I was very surprised. And it's totally fine. But what we realized is that, okay, so we keep the med spas. He and everyone that's working there, they're serving people, helping them to be beautiful and feel better about themselves and helping with hormones and all those issues. But Upgrade Labs, it's like when you come to Upgrade Labs, when you come to a med spa, right, you're thinking, I'm coming for my face. When you come to Upgrade Labs, you're like, I'm coming for my health.
Totally.
And so that way, people who come in, they're there for mm-hmm. their health. And I'm like, yes, yes. So
then you're like, oh, and if you don't like that wrinkle between your brows, I can help you with that.
I can help you with that too. Yes.
Okay. So let's dive into sugar more. Okay. So you started talking about the leptin, and I feel like I understand a little bit more right now. Okay. So, I feel like everything I see, though, really, I've started watching my own sugar intake pretty extensively. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like my partner does, and he needs to be more careful, I think. And so what do you start people with by telling them about, you know, what we're eating and
about sugar?
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on why they're talking to me. And why the topic comes up. But say if the topic came up because someone is talking about their face and they're like, I don't like these wrinkles and I'm starting to get these jowls and my skin is rough, the texture is yucky, that I start the conversation with, what are you eating? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, I eat really healthy. I'm like, well, just tell me what typical week of food. And a lot of times people will eat a lot of sweets and they don't really notice it. We had two friends who came in to have two laser procedures, same procedure, same time. One had an amazing result. The other one, meh results. She's like, well, how come she looks great? And I don't really feel like I look different. We'd had the talk before about sugar. Mm-hmm. I don't eat a lot of sugar.
Sugar in particular.
Sugar.
You talked about sugar in particular.
Yes.
With regards to a laser face treatment.
Yes. Because we're like, before you have this, at least at least a month would be good, or 2 weeks if you can't do a month. Stop eating sugar before you have this procedure. And then you need to stay off the sugar, preferably forever, but at least a couple months afterwards, so that your body can heal and your body can make new collagen and it can be healthy collagen. Because what happens is, when you have high sugar levels in your system, the sugar attaches to proteins, and collagen is a protein. So it attaches and it causes glycation. It glycates it. So it kind of causes the sugar, instead of the collagen to be like this, it's like this. It's like all stuck and sticky and glumped up together. So it's not elastic. So then your collagen and elastin is not high quality. And so then it can lead to wrinkles, to sagging skin, to rough texture. And in the case of our friend who didn't have a perfect result, I was asking her, well, are you sure you're not been eating a lot of sugar? And her friend was like, girl, you eat sugar all the time. I see you eating Reese's Pieces. Like, every time we're together, you have a bag in the car and you eat a whole bag of Reese's Pieces. And then you have the gummy bears at home. And her friend was like, oh, well, yeah, just that. Well, yeah, just that. Mm-hmm. It's sugar.
What about wine?
Wine is sugar.
Wine is sugar, right?
Wine is sugar.
Right.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there's like sugar in so many things, because I'm thinking about like people who drink wine, if you get more wrinkles. And like, I know that whenever I get something done to my face, or when I used to drink, like, mm-hmm. I really was super careful, and I wouldn't drink any alcohol, especially wine, you know, before I got anything done. Mm-hmm. And it made a huge difference. I didn't bruise.
Yeah.
You know, I never bruised, hardly ever. And I attributed a lot of it to that. Was the bruising sugar related or alcohol?
That's
usually
the alcohol related, because that'll thin your blood a little bit. And so then you don't clot as well. So we tell people, don't have alcohol for at least 24 hours before you're going to come in for injectables to minimize bruising.
But the sugar is really interesting, the sugar and the collagen.
Yes. Yeah. Sugar and collagen are not friends.
I didn't realize not that at all.
And wine, we have a friend who, she was on a diet, and what she ate was all buttoned up, but she would drink one or two bottles of wine a day. Mm-hmm. And she wondered why she was really overweight and she couldn't lose the weight, and her skin quality was really poor. It's like, girl, you're drinking sugar. I mean, I get it. I used to love my wine every night, but it comes to a point where you're like, okay, is the wine, the taste of it and the feel of it, is it worth the detriment to your body from the alcohol and the detriment to your brain? And is it worth the sugar? And then I was like, no, it's definitely not worth the sugar.
Well, I feel like I get a sugar hangover if I'm not diligent about it. And I was talking to a friend, I don't know if I told you this or not. I was talking to a friend, and he's my friend, Nack. He's in 4 years older than me, or 5 years old. So he's like 55, six. And he, oh my God, he might be 57. Anyway, I think he is. And we were just talking about, I was like, oh, I drank a ginger ale and I knew I shouldn't have, but I was like with people and stuff. And then I just felt like shit the next day. And so I was like, then I cut that out. But then I went out to dinner with friends and I was talking to him the next day. And I was like, I woke up with like what felt like a total hangover, like headache, nausea, the whole thing. Oh, wow. And I was like, I didn't even do the ginger. I didn't do anything like that. And he was like, did you eat dessert? And I said, yes.
Yes.
And he was like, I don't even think we can eat dessert now because it's the sugar.
Yes.
What would you say to that?
I agree. So when we're
young. It's a hangover?
Yes.
It's a fucking hangover?
Yes. When we're young, we can get away with it, right? When I was young.
Why? What happened?
Our metabolism is a lot higher. You know, we just, I think we can get away with so much more. And our bodies can break, for alcohol, our bodies can break down alcohol. The acetaldehyde, which is a breakdown product of alcohol, we can break that down when we're younger. Especially women, when we hit maybe 40 and up, it's like, wham, there's a switch and we can't metabolize that acetaldehyde as much anymore. And so then your hangovers go up and they're worse. It's just a whole thing. But I guess it's our bodies telling us, okay, you don't need to be in this sugar anymore. When I was in nursing school, they called me Q2-hour feeds. And that means every 2 hours, feed her.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting hangry. I'd wake up in the morning, I'd eat waffles with syrup or like Lucky Charms. Oh, my
what?
God.
What? Really?
Yes.
I can't even imagine you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I feel really guilty about my first child, my daughter, every Sunday we would get donuts.
Because she's older now, right?
She's 31.
Okay, yeah.
poor thing. She's so healthy now how she eats, but I raised her like donuts every Saturday or every Sunday. We ordered pizza. I mean, anyway, just terrible things. So
I've done it with my kids.
I didn't eat every 2 hours, I would get angry, like hangry, and be really grouchy in my, because my blood sugar would go up from eating all the carbs. Mm-hmm. So then my insulin would dump and it would bring my blood sugar down, but it would bring it down too low. Yeah. And so then I was hangry because my brain is like, oh, we're starving. Feed, 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 feed. So then I would eat again. And it was this whole process over and over and over again. And it took me a while to figure that out.
Do you think that's legitimately why people get hangry?
Yes. Yes.
My partner gets hangry.
Yeah.
He seems to be getting better. He's been eating a lot more meat and more regularly.
Uh-huh.
So, and he's like, I feel better. And he doesn't seem as hangry, but he like, oh,
It's the carbs. You eat too many carbs. And especially if you eat the carbs first, they're going to go right into your system. So if you're going to eat some carbs, you want to eat fiber first. And protein, maybe some fat, so that you're slowing down, then the carbs on top of that. So then it takes more time for that sugar, the carbs. Mm-hmm. The carbs get into your system, and then it breaks it down into sugar, into glucose. And
processes more slowly.
More slowly, yes.
This podcast is sponsored by Wands. Wands creates luxurious pleasure practice tools that help people become more connected to their bodies. They have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, the most gorgeous crystal pleasure wands you've ever seen, free bleed blankets, and my favorites, the trademarked glass cervix wand and the Venus wand, which is their heaviest wand made of stainless steel, and their new ecstatic vibrator. This company is woman-owned and creates products designed to help you become more connected to your body and your pleasure and support the healing of pelvic pain. Get yours today in their always discreet packaging at wands.com. That's wands with two A's, WAANDS.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off or enter the code Amy Edwards at checkout. Again, that's wands, WAANDS.com. The Amy Edwards Show is sponsored in part by Higher Dose. Higher Dose creates wellness tech for everyone with tools, supplements, and body care. And I have 15% off for you with my code MAGIC15. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, and more. I have their infrared pulsed electromagnetic field, or PEMF, mat, which emits electromagnetic waves that mimic natural frequencies found in nature, stimulating and encouraging your body's natural recovery process. It also has 20 pounds of crystals in it and has shown to ease chronic pain, aid in exercise recovery and circulation, deepen your meditations, reduce stress, and improve total body relaxation. I also love their red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft and easy to use in store and even travel with. I'm a true fan of these items and more, like their glow serum. So I'm excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there. Or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 for 15% off. HigherDose.com. This podcast is sponsored by The Collective ATX. If you're looking for the best in hair extensions, it's The Collective ATX. They do mine, and I won't go anywhere else. I've tried them all over the years, and finally, I've found what makes my real hair stronger and fuller, and even works with my natural curl. They keep all their extensions in-house, so there's no wait, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods. Plus, they're pros at color and covering gray. I have literally never in my life been happier with my color. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX, link is in the show notes. What about ACV, apple cider vinegar? Are you a big proponent of that?
I do.
I've read about drinking some mixed with water before you eat, and that's slowing down your sugar.
I've noticed for myself it helps. Now, I don't eat a lot of carbs anymore, but I still take apple cider vinegar just because I think it's good for you. Mm-hmm. But yes, if you're going to eat, so if we're going to go do sushi, that's when I have my carbs is, you know, sushi with the rice and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'll do apple cider vinegar first. I'll do berberine, and there's a product called diaxanol from Orthomolecular, or Blood Sugar Breakthrough from Biooptimizers. And it has like alpha lipoic acid, cinnamon, vanadium, all sorts of different things that help control your blood sugar. And I'll take that first, or a metformin. I also have metformin as a biohacking tool. I don't need it for my, you know, I'm not diabetic.
Same here. I have some too. It's been told I should take it from Ways to Well that I use, that I was telling you about. And so, yeah, we can talk about metformin in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I love it.
Maybe you can send me a list of those and I can put the links in the show notes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Good. Mm-hmm. I would like that because I've been just really curious about that. Can we talk about insulin for a minute?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Minutes.
For sure. Minutes.
Yeah.
So what happens, insulin, its job is to like go and open the door to the cell so that sugar can go into the cell.
Okay. So insulin opens the door
to the cell.
To the cell.
To put sugar in it.
Okay.
Yes. And insulin will also cause you to store fat. So here's what happens is you eat something that has sugar in it or
a
carbs.
Donut. I've eaten Lucky Charms.
Yes, we eat Lucky Charms. Okay. So then all of a sudden your blood sugar goes woo up. So your body is
so like, there's lots of sugar flowing of sugar. In my blood because
yes.
of what I ate. Okay.
And so
I gotta dumb this down for myself because I don't even understand diabetes. I don't understand insulin. I don't understand any of that. So I want to.
Yes. Okay. So you don't want to have a whole lot of glucose floating around in your blood, right? It's not gonna do you any good in the blood. It's just gonna clump things up.
So
attached
your body's
to
like, I want to do something.
With it. So the whole purpose of the glucose is to fuel your body to give you energy. So you need to get that into the cells so that the cells can use it. So your cells use glucose. So insulin then will be secreted. The cool thing, interesting thing is when you eat something sweet, whether even if it's like an artificial sweetener or even a natural sweetener, your body tastes the sweet and it already starts secreting insulin. Even if it doesn't have sugar in it. So that's a topic
so
for
it's
another
like,
time.
I've got to do something with this.
Yes. It tastes it and it goes, oh, sugar's coming. Start to release insulin.
Fuck.
Yes. So now if you're going to get some sugar, you want that, right? You want the insulin to bring the sugar into the cells. But the thing is like if you drink a big old Diet Coke, your body's like, ah, oh, sugar's coming. Release that insulin. And so you're releasing the insulin, but then there's nothing there for the body to put into the cells. So then
you get
more hungry.
So you get more hungry.
You get more hungry because your body's like, ah, we were ready. We dumped this insulin and insulin also, the other job beside opening the cells to put the sugar in there, it also opens to put fat. It stores fat. So our fat cells are a little storage batteries for our fuel. So what happens is we have glycogen stores. So we eat sugar or carbs. That sugar that glucose, it needs to be either right away used for something. So if you're like doing squats, it can be used right then for your cells to power the cells. Or otherwise, it can go to the liver and the liver can turn it into glycogen, which is a storage form of glucose. And then the liver can store it in the liver or it can mm-hmm. store it in the muscles. Or it can turn it into fat. So once your glycogen stores are all full, okay, these batteries are ready. We're all full. There's no more room. You ate more sugar. It has to go somewhere, right? So the liver's like, well, dang, this is all full. Okay, we turn it into fat. So it turns it directly into fat. The liver just esterifies it, turns it into fat, and then it has to go somewhere. So it puts it into the fat cells, to the adipose tissue. So that's where we get the fat from. So insulin is a storage molecule. It's telling your body to put the sugar in there, put the sugar in there, turn things into fat and put it over there. When your insulin levels are high, you can't access the fat from your fat cells because insulin is telling things to store, put it in there, not take it out, right?
Oh.
So if you're one of the, so you know, there used to be this thing about, oh, you should eat small meals 5 times a day or snacks in between. What happens with that is it takes a few hours for your insulin level to come back down after you've eaten. So if you eat, your insulin comes up, and then it takes much longer to come down than your sugar. Your sugar will poof. So the insulin's coming back down. But until it gets back down to baseline, you can't access your fat. You can't burn your fat. You can't get it. Well, then you're like, oh, I'm supposed to snack. So I have a snack. Your insulin is still here. So then it goes back up because your sugar goes up. What's happening is you're never letting your insulin come down to here, so you can't access the fat. So you can't break down that fat. So people who believe in eating 5 times a day, 6 times a day, I think we're all different. Maybe there's someone who genetically might work okay with that, but I feel like if you're not eating a lot of carbs, you don't need to do that. And if you're wanting to access your fat, then you need to not eat so frequently. That's why intermittent fasting is such an amazing thing.
What happens long term, though, if your insulin doesn't come down except at night or something like that?
Right.
What happens?
So then your insulin, all higher insulin levels affect different hormones in your body as well.
Oh, then your hormones get all messed up?
Yes, and your hormones get all messed up too. Because then the insulin is affecting your hypothalamus, it's affecting your pituitary, which the hypothalamus and the pituitary are the kind of the master controllers of the other hormones.
Yeah.
So then it can mess up your hormones, it can mess up your estrogen, testosterone. It's a whole thing.
I mean, it sounds like it's affecting all these systems. So it sounds like which is what I thought. I mean, I feel like it sounds like it's a real key to health. Like, if you can harness this one thing.
Yes.
Other things are going to fall into place.
Yes. And I think that's why it's so important for perimenopausal and menopausal women to pay attention to our sugar, because we're having all these hormonal fluctuations anyway.
Yeah.
If we always have this higher insulin because we're eating all the time, especially if we're eating sugar, that insulin is going to affect our production of testosterone. So women with PCOS, they tend to often have like facial hair because they have metabolic syndrome. So they have insulin resistance. So the insulin is high because the cells over here they've just gotten used to the high insulin and they don't listen anymore.
That's what the insulin resistance is?
The insulin is here and the cells are like,
it's like my door's still locked. You're not able to unlock my door.
Yeah.
It's resistant because why?
So if our body has so much of something, say that if you listen to music every now and then and you go, I love that. I'm hearing that's really pretty. We'll say that the music gets really loud and somebody plays that music 24 hours or 48 hours and they don't shut it off. As a protective mechanism, right, you kind of don't hear it as much anymore. You kind of block it out. You tune it out. That's what the cells do with insulin. The insulin is always there all the time. Hey, you know, like the receptors get full and the cells kind of like just sometimes if you overload something with a lot of a hormone, sometimes the receptors will actually slow down and have smaller amounts of receptors so that you can't overload the system. Mm-hmm. So it's just the cells get deaf to it. Like, it's always this constant noise. And so they don't pay attention anymore. And so in insulin resistance, it's just the cells don't listen to the insulin like they once
and
did.
And so you've just got a bunch of insulin floating around in your body.
Mm-hmm. And then the sugar still floats around in your body too,
and the
right?
sugar's floating around.
Right.
With nowhere to go. And then what happens?
So then that's like diabetes.
That's what diabetes is.
Yes, it's too much sugar in the blood.
Too much sugar in the blood because you're insulin resistant or you don't have insulin?
It could be either one.
Okay.
So type 1 diabetes used to be... it's changed.
Okay.
Well, type 1 diabetes is where they think it's an autoimmune process where the pancreas can't produce insulin.
Okay.
And so like your body attacks the cells that produce insulin. And so the person can't produce it. And so a lot of times it'll be children.
Yes. And that's when they have to give themselves.
Get the shots. Yes.
Okay.
It's interesting though. We've had an increase in type 1 diabetes in, you know, adolescents and adults as well too.
Just people that suddenly can't produce insulin.
Yeah, it's like something their body is attacking. There's antibodies against the cells in the pancreas that make insulin, and so then those cells. Another interesting thing though is some studies have shown that you could possibly reverse that depending on when it happened and what the reason of it was.
I mean, I think Halle Berry has talked about that. Have you studied her at all? Because she had type 1 or has and has really worked hard with on her own health. And I mean, she looks fabulous and she's like lived a long life.
Yeah.
And so what's type 2?
Type 2 is where your pancreas can still make the insulin. Mm-hmm. But it's the insulin resistance. You get to where your cells just don't hear the insulin.
That's what
much
people develop.
Anymore. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's usually over time with all sorts of things: PCOS, overeating, eating too much sugar, things like that.
When they say pre-diabetic, that's what we're talking about.
Well, pre-diabetic is before you actually hit the term where the Western medicine says, "Oh, you're diabetic."
Yeah.
From a biohacker or a longevity standpoint, you really want to make sure that this area that they call prediabetes, you want to stay way down here. You don't want to have your blood sugars be high, and you don't want to have high insulin levels either. But it's just the cutoff, and I don't remember if it's your fasting blood sugars above 110, I think.
Okay.
Might be what the, and on a, you know, not just one day, but a few days in a row is, I think, what they use to. One of the criteria for diabetes.
Do you monitor your blood sugar?
I do. I don't have one right now. I usually use Lifestyle Libre. And the reason I use
that
is it's a CGM.
The thing that you put on your arm.
Yes.
I've seen this advertised. I'm sure I'll see it more now.
Yes. But yeah.
We all will. Yeah. And
I love it.
It's you amazing. Do.
I think everybody should do it.
And does it go to an app on your phone or something?
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Amazing. So the reason I like Lifestyle Libre, there are all sorts of really great ones.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, you need to buy a membership and you have to pay a monthly membership for it. That's fine, but I don't need a nutritionist then to look at my data and tell me what to do.
You sure don't.
So I have my husband.
I mean, you have you.
You know. Yeah. So we just use that one. I think it's like $75 for one. So we'll buy.
And you get the thing and you get the app.
Put it in and then it lasts for 2 weeks.
Put it in. What do you?
There's this little applicator and you push it in your arm and it's this tiny little needle, but it's very flexible and it doesn't hurt. Like you can't even feel that it's in there.
Oh, cool.
And so it's just in there monitoring the blood sugar. And it's not really monitoring blood sugar. It's measuring the sugar in the water around the cells. But they
Close
use a
enough.
Way to figure out what your blood sugar is. Yeah.
And so if I want to get one of those,
yes.
What am I going to start learning? Like, how am I going to start understanding this?
It will show you how your body responds to different foods.
Okay.
So typically we
I'm doing
people,
this. I'm doing
it. Oh, yeah. You should do it.
I've
it's so fascinating.
Like the Oura Ring, like I'm done with that. You know, like I did it for a long time. I think you have one on.
I do, yeah.
I loved it, but I sleep so good. Not to humble brag about my sleep, but I do. I sleep so good. I mean, like I was always like 90s. And so I was just like, I felt like I had a groove with that.
Yeah.
And it actually started to bother my fingers. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm good. And I love tracking when I get to.
Yes.
So I'm going to do this.
Yeah. It's
because I've been just kind of trying. That's why you're here, like trying to figure this out and understand it better. And I don't have this like scientifically grasping mind. So I'm just going to do my best to layman's understand. So what will I start to like? How am I going to start figuring it out? I'm just going to.
You'll just
associate
You'll
basically
see.
At first.
It's so great because everybody's body is different, right? My husband and I used to have a health coaching business. We've put that on hold for now just because we have a lot of other projects going on. But we would always start our clients with a CGM and we would tell them everyone's different, right? Because used to people would say, okay, well, if you're going to eat carbs, complex carbs are fine, like sweet potatoes are fine. They used to say not to eat any white rice, but to eat brown rice. Now the thought is brown rice has cyanide or arsenic. I can't remember which one, but not to eat that. And anyway.
Yeah, everybody likes white rice.
Yes. Yep, so, I know. You know, it all changes. So with the sweet potatoes, when I had my CGM on, my blood sugar went up to 185 with a half a sweet potato.
And that's high, right?
And that's
I don't know what the numbers mean.
We want it to stay after you've eaten below 140.
Okay.
Would be ideal. Now, if it goes up a little bit, hopefully it'll come down quickly. But really, for optimal health, you'd love to see it stay below 140. Fasting, you really would like to see it below 85.
Mm-hmm.
So diabetes runs in my family. My granny had diabetes. My aunts had diabetes. My mom was pre-diabetic. So,
like all later in life type things? Mm-hmm. Type 2?
Type 2. Okay. Yes. So I always thought, I'm so healthy. I'm sure I'm fine. Well, I did actually have gestational diabetes when I was pregnant with my first daughter because I was eating all the waffles, the syrup. And they say that if you've had gestational diabetes, you're much higher risk for diabetes later on in life. But during my years where I was eating the pizza and the donuts, I didn't pay attention to that. But as I started getting into the health world, I was like, oh, well, you know, I should probably be careful. For when I get old, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to get diabetes when I get old.
Right.
When I wore the CGM, I was like, oh, man, my fasting sugar sometimes would be 98, 100. So while I'm sleeping and get up in the morning, that's not healthy. It's not healthy. I wanted it to be around 85.
85 when you're 85 sleeping?
85 when I'm sleeping. Well, the interesting thing is...
I'm like, do you want zero? What do you want?
No. You don't want it to go too low either because then your brain doesn't have the fuel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then so what's interesting is I had told you earlier that I was waking up at about 3 in the morning. So wearing the CGM, what I could see is that my blood sugar would dip to about 50 around 3 in the morning. So what I started doing is I will take a teaspoon of raw unfiltered honey at night before I go to sleep. Honey has got some fructose in it, but it's just enough to keep my blood sugar stable during the night so that it wouldn't drop. Because when your blood sugar drops too low, your brain is cleaning out your brain. It's using the glymphatic system to take out the toxins and the trash. It needs energy. So your blood sugar drops low, then your adrenal glands release cortisol to help bring your blood sugar up.
Mm-hmm.
But then that wakes you up a little bit. So you might not wake all the way up, but it brings you up out of that deep sleep, which is not healthy. So anyway, so I noticed, okay, interesting, my blood sugar is falling at night, but then it's too high in the morning. And then I would eat the sweet potato and it would go up to 180. So it really changed how I live my life, how I eat, everything, seeing these numbers.
How do you feel about regular potatoes?
I like them. I usually won't eat them unless you bake the potato and then you let it cool first.
Yeah, the starch.
Yes, to make a resistant starch out of it. And
yep.
then you can heat it back up and eat it later.
Okay.
Now, French fries is one of my favorite foods.
Me too.
Ever.
And yes.
So I will.
We have to live.
Yeah. I'll do French fries at Dai Due. Hop Dottie now has started using non-seed oils.
Oh.
So there were years there where I really wouldn't eat French fries. But now I'm like, okay, I'll eat the protein first and take some fiber and then I'll have some French fries.
Yeah.
Because you got to live. You got to live.
And honestly, even when you were talking about the waffles or whatever, you know, I think that's one of those instances where it's really good that you did those things because you have a deeper understanding and a personal understanding of those things.
Yes.
Right?
I was a sugar addict. I really was.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, how could you not be, right? If you were doing that every 2 hours,
uh-huh.
you know.
Snickers bar,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job with their advertising, you know. And then they have the thing about the hangry.
They do.
The Snickers.
They do.
Yeah. But that's not great because then you're getting all that sugar.
And you're on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about metformin.
Yes. Okay.
Because they had me like, they had it on my protocol
mm-hmm.
and I've been a little sporadic with it. I'll go through phases where I didn't, but I remember telling a doctor, they were like, well, what are you taking? What supplements or whatever? And I said metformin and they were like, not educated in that field around it, you know, and they were like, why? What? You're not pre-diabetic.
Are you diabetic?
Or maybe it was my OB or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know why. I didn't have an answer. So please, can we talk about that?
Yes. So there's a couple of thoughts on metformin. One thought is that metformin is...
What is it, first of all?
It is a drug, a medication that helps your cells be more sensitive to insulin.
Okay.
So that whenever your body produces insulin, then your cells are like, oh, I hear you. Okay, sure, I'll open the door for you. Whereas, say, like if someone is insulin resistant, like we talked about, the insulin's knocking at the door and the cell's like, I can't
hear you. It combats insulin resistance. Okay.
Yes. And it also slows down glycogen production in the liver. So the liver, the release of glucose in the liver. So mm-hmm. the liver will release glucose sometimes if we need it, or if we're stressed, it'll just release glucose. So metformin will slow down that a little bit. So the liver's not so happy to be releasing, making glucose. And then it just makes the cells go, oh, yeah, you're knocking on the door, insulin. Okay, sure. Come on in. I'll open the door for the sugar to come in. It can be a little bit of a mitochondrial disruptor. So for a while there was a backlash of people, biohackers, saying, oh, don't take metformin. It's bad for you. Anything that slows down your mitochondria from making energy is not good. It depends. If you're totally healthy and you have a CGM and you see that your blood sugar levels are where you want them to be, then don't take metformin. There's no need to do it. But if you do the CGM and you see that your blood sugars are like 100 in the morning, like mine were, or they go up to 180, 185.
So 100's high in the morning, even though you want it at 85?
100's high for fasting.
For fasting, okay.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my goal for myself, 85 to 90 is where I want it to be fasting. So for me, for someone who has insulin resistance or PCOS or anything where your blood sugars tend to be higher than what you want, it's a helpful tool to help keep your blood sugar levels down and to keep your insulin from having to go so high. And insulin is an inflammatory hormone. So the higher levels of insulin that you tend to have all the time, the more inflammation you're going to have in your body. So if you
say that, can you say that one more time?
The higher levels of insulin you have, the higher inflammation you're going to have in your body, because insulin is inflammatory.
Okay,
that's a whole other thing. And sugar is inflammatory as well. So these two things, sugar and insulin, are both inflammatory. So we want to keep those down. So that's where metformin comes in, is just to make your body more susceptible to the insulin. Oh, I hear you. Okay, yeah, let the sugar in. And so for me, with my family history of diabetes, metformin has really helped me to be able to at least have a life to where I don't take it all the time. I believe in cycling things. I believe in all my supplements. I don't take it. Most of my supplements I don't take continuously. I'll cycle on and off of different things.
I think that's great, because then you know what's working and what's not.
Yes. Well, and then to your body, sometimes, you know, it gets full of something, and your body likes to mix it up.
I mix everything up. I do my face no matter what it is, my face products, everything.
Because your body gets used to something and lazy, and it's like, oh, same old thing all the time.
Yeah, and you don't get as much of a change or reaction or whatever you're desiring.
Yeah,
right.
I think our bodies are really good with change. That's why I think if you have a certain diet, like we talked earlier, just mentioned intermittent fasting. I think intermittent fasting is amazing. But not continuously, especially for women. You know, you got to mix it up. You got to, you know, throw your body a curveball every now and then, so that it's like, oh, wait, what is this? I got to figure out how to deal with this, because our bodies are lazy. And they'll just go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I know. Oh, I know what's coming. I know how to handle this. But back to the metformin. Okay. So if I'm going to go out to breakfast with a friend and I really want to treat myself and I want to have a pancake or a waffle, I'm not all about torturing myself and never allowing myself to have something that's lovely and yummy.
Sure.
You know, good old gluten-free pancake every now and then with some syrup is yummy.
Yes.
So what I'll do is I'll take the metformin first. I'll also take my the diaxanol or the blood sugar breakthrough. Ceylon cinnamon I add to my coffee, because Ceylon cinnamon helps to slow down sugar spikes in your system.
Is that a certain type of cinnamon?
It's a type of cinnamon.
I've never heard of
that.
I love cinnamon. Oh, okay.
I
do too.
So I put it in my coffee every morning.
Okay.
Then I'll go. I will do 60 squats before going in the restaurant. sit down, order like whatever protein.
This is a pancake protocol.
This is my pancake protocol. Yes. Have my protein, put some butter. I bring my butter with me. I bring my MCT oil.
What kind of butter is that?
Just grass-fed butter. Okay. I like the Kerrygold grass-fed butter from Costco. Mm-hmm. And then I have a little container with Trehalose and xylitol, which are natural sweeteners that don't raise your blood sugar. And so I add that in there because Trehalose has some really good health benefits. And I bring my little whirr and I whir my coffee up. And so then I'm drinking this. I'm getting my fat and I'm eating my protein. And then I can eat my pancake. So now I have the fiber, the fat, the protein in my system. So it's going to slow down the entry of the glucose into my system. And then when I have my CGM, I'll test it and see, huh, how's it going? If I see it starting to go up, then I'll get up and I'll do more squats.
For real?
Yeah.
I love it. You're in the middle of snooze and you're like, excuse me, just one second.
Excuse me for a second.
Just step over
People
here.
People are like, okay, what is she doing?
That is so fascinating. Like, I thought too that I was supposed to take the metformin before bed, but you're taking it like before you eat.
I do. I take it, before I eat. Like, 45 minutes and before I eat in the morning if I'm gonna have carbs.
What if Justin wants to eat ice cream at night? When would he take metformin?
I would say take it, before he eats, 45 minutes before he eats the ice cream.
Oh, I didn't know this at all. Yeah. Okay.
And then, he's an athlete, right? Have him do his squats before he eats the ice cream. Uh-huh. And it would be really good for him to have a CGM too, because here you go.
Oh, I'm getting him from both.
Because if he's a sugarholic,
he
doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know what's happening, right?
Right, right.
In his body. And so he thinks, I'm doing fine. I'm healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm buff. I can do whatever I want.
He's young too.
Young.
36.
Right? Yeah. And maybe you get to the point where you can't get away with all that. So it's good. You don't know what you don't know. So when he gets that CGM, he sees what's happening to his blood sugar. It will change how he eats. It will. Because once you know.
That's the thing. Knowing.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think when you're just sort of like, I feel tired, I feel, it's like, that's not enough information.
Right. Yes. Because really you don't know why you feel tired. Mm-mm. And here's one of the reasons you feel tired. You eat the sugar. Your sugar levels go up. Your insulin dumps to bring the sugar down. But our body's not an exact science. So usually the sugar falls a little bit lower than where our body wants it. So then, because our sugar is low, now we're tired because we don't have that energy source available. And so our brain is like, we have to have energy to live. Get us some more food. And so then you're hungry. And
get the Snickers, their slogan was.
Bring it to me. Yeah.
What is good sweetener then? Because you mentioned the two. And even when we went for coffee, you had it with you.
Yes.
What is it?
So it depends too on who you ask. I'm a fan of xylitol. Some people don't like it. Xylitol is made from birch bark.
Okay.
It is a sweetener that's really good for dental health because it keeps you from having the bacteria form plaques or colonies. So it doesn't kill the bacteria, because I used to worry like, oh, if I use this, is it going to kill my gut flora? It doesn't kill it. It just keeps them from forming these tight colonies or plaques. Mm-hmm. So it keeps you from making plaque in your teeth. So I like xylitol. Some people, because it's a sugar alcohol, it can cause a little bit of diarrhea. Mm-hmm. So everyone should test for themselves how they tolerate anything to see.
Okay.
It has minimal effect on your insulin. So it doesn't cause huge insulin spikes, which is good. I would not do saccharin. I would not do Splenda. I would not do any of those artificial sweeteners. Stevia, it depends on who you read and talk to as well.
That's what I've been using.
Yeah. So if you use stevia in the raw, that's minimally processed, is usually pretty good. There have been some studies recently on stevia and how it affects the gut microbiome. And I don't think it was a bad thing.
Okay.
Except for if you use the highly processed stevia.
Truvia.
Yeah. I know.
I kind of like Truvia.
Yeah. I like the Truvia. Yeah. I love Zevia. Have you ever tried those drinks?
Yes, Zevia. I buy those for the kids sometimes. Yeah.
I love those. I try not to do it very often because carbonated drinks are actually not that healthy for you because they can take the calcium out of your bones.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They take the calcium out of your bones. Interesting.
With it, yeah. I mean, if you drink a lot, if you drink a small amount, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But you know, people who drink the bubbly waters all day, every day, mm-hmm. it's like, that's probably not really healthy. But the Zevia, certain flavors will give my son a headache. And so then you wonder, what's in there? It says natural flavors. You don't know what's in the natural flavors. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to drink my Zevia every now and then. It doesn't give me a headache. We'll see. I'm open-minded if someone mm-hmm. says to me, like Kashif Khan, he's the DNA company founder, and he discovered when he was drinking Zevias and he loved them, but he was getting headaches and feeling odd, and he discovered that his body just doesn't tolerate them well, so he doesn't drink them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's stevia. Just kind of depends. The more natural, the better. Trehalose is a sweetener that's made from different plants and even animals, I think.
How do you spell it?
Trehalose. Trehalose.
Oh, okay.
Now, it's not very sweet, so I mix my trehalose and my xylitol together.
Okay.
But I want the health benefits of the trehalose, which actually trehalose helps plants or cells be resistant to dehydration or freezing. So it just makes cells more resilient. And so it has different health benefits in the body. So I've been taking that one. That's a good one. What else?
Nice.
Some people like allulose.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've had allulose, and I think that's all right. Those are usually the ones that I use.
Well, I feel like at least we're moving as a society toward a lot more of those and toward more awareness.
Yes.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, you know, progress.
Yes, it is.
Right?
I still think what happens is we need to do like a sugar reset. I can't remember who wrote the book, but there's like the 30-day sugar reset diet or something.
Okay.
Where for 30 days you don't eat anything that tastes sweet, because we get addicted to that taste,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And even if we give up the sugar, even if we're eating lots of these other sweeteners, xylitol and allulose and all that, I still feel like it's not healthy to consume huge quantities, again, because you're putting that sweet taste in, so we get addicted to the taste.
Mm-hmm.
So that 30-day reset, you can't – the only thing that was even slightly sweet was after like the second or third week, you could have a Granny Smith apple.
Wow.
And I used to not really love Granny Smith apples, but after you've been without anything for that long, I was like, oh, Granny Smith apple with some almond butter. Oh, my gosh. But it was amazing. It showed me how addicted I was to sweet, the taste of sweet, because I was just dreaming of, oh, something sweet. I just want a berry. I just want an apple. I just want something.
Almond butter seems sweet. So that was like introduced later too.
Mm-hmm. So the almond butter that I had was no sugar added or whatsoever. And so it really didn't have that much sweet to it.
Really?
But so I just had the almond butter on the Granny Smith apple, and it was like the best dessert I'd had in so long.
Wow.
But after that, what I noticed is my cravings for sweet tasting things had gone down.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, they really, I don't drink a lot of sugary drinks, and I don't eat a lot of, like, you know, cake and stuff like that. And I can't do like a lot of it, you mm-hmm. know, frosting and all that stuff. Oh, it's just
too sweet.
It's like a little too much. No, don't get me wrong. I love cookies. And so I will have a cookie when I want a cookie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you can definitely increase your sensitivity to it, I guess you would say. So you don't.
Or you don't want it as much or need it as much. Or if you've done that reset, when you add something back in, try to add something only slightly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're satisfied with it. But it's interesting. What happens is that, at least for me, after I did the month and then I only would have something slightly sweet for a little while, and I did great. And then, I don't know, I think it was Thanksgiving, or my mom makes these amazing cookies. Oh, they're mm-hmm. so good. And I had one, and then I was like, you know, and then I noticed the next day I wanted another cookie, and the next day it was like an addict.
Yeah.
Like you can't have just one.
And that brings up a lot of things that we think don't have sugar that actually do. So they keep bringing you back to eat more, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like sneaky sugar.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like simple carbs. Crackers.
Mm-hmm. Crackers. Yeah. Great example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bread, any kind of bread product. Mm-hmm. It's a simple carb. Yeah, so it's not just sugar, like table sugar.
It's about looking at those ingredients and looking for what exactly?
Looking for like the carb content, or, and you can also look at the, it'll say sugar.
Look at that.
You can look at the sugar.
Okay. So look at carb content and then look at sugars.
Look at sugars. Yeah. And then just kind of learn for yourself, especially if you wear a CGM, like, you know, where's that happy medium for you? And learn how to, you know, do the pancake protocol.
Yeah.
If you're going to have some carbs, if you're going to have even like sugar, the syrup.
What kind of diet do you mostly adhere to?
So it's very interesting. We did mostly paleo, lots and lots of grass-fed, grass-finished organic beef. For a couple of years, I didn't eat chicken because Dr. Marcola scared me off of chicken from the biohacking conference a couple of years ago. He was like, only stupid people eat chicken.
Stupid people eat chicken.
You know
chicken.
How Dr. Marcola is. He's really funny.
I don't even know who that is, but
he's funny.
Apparently, that's how he is.
He has strong feelings.
Obviously.
So he was like, it has high levels of omega-6 and linoleic acid, and so you don't want to eat it. What I have subsequently found out is if you get a chicken that's raised out on the farm and it lives outside and it eats bugs and all that, then your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is much better. It doesn't have these high levels of linoleic acid.
Sure.
But so I wasn't eating, and I don't like fish, so we were mainly eating red meat. Well, we've been on this spiritual journey, and about 2-3 months ago, my body, all of a sudden, I was going to eat this big grass-fed burger, and I took a bite, and I was like, what? I just worked out. I did Mandu. I did electrical muscle stimulation. I'm super hungry. I want this burger. And my body was like, no, you don't want it. And since then, I can't eat very much red meat. My body just doesn't want me to. And so I'm like, well, what am I going to eat now? So I noticed on my in-body scan that my fat percentage has been going up as my protein consumption has gone down. So it's been this journey of trying to figure out how to get more protein in my system. So I've been eating more chicken. I just buy from the farmer's market and get, you know, chicken that lived its little life out on the farm. I was eating a lot more eggs, and then my cholesterol level had shot up. And I was like, okay, well, fine. As long as my LDL, my VLDL is not high, that's fine. And I looked at it, and it was really high. And I was like, oh, man, that's also my family has a history of that. So I'm like, okay, increase my berberine, which I've done to help bring down the cholesterol, especially the LDL and the VLDL.
Cut back on what? Berberine?
Berberine. It's an herb.
Okay.
Chinese medicine has used it for years just to help people bring down your cholesterol, especially the LDL. I call the lousy density lipoprotein. LDL, lousy LDL, low density lipoprotein.
Good trick.
And the VLDL is very lousy density lipoprotein, VLDL. So you want those to be, you don't want those to be high, because if your cholesterol overall is high, but your ratio is good, then it's not so bad. It's more when your LDL, your VLD, these small particles, those tiny small particles are the ones that can cause you more problems with cardiovascular disease, because they can get into the lining of the vessels. So
can you get berberine in any foods?
There are some, but I can't tell you what they are. I just take a berberine supplement that you can get at the store.
Well, so you started doing that. Mm-hmm. You were talking about your diet.
Yeah. So it's a work in progress right now. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure it out. More chicken, less red meat just because my body doesn't want it. A little more fish, even though I don't like it, like wild caught salmon, things like that. None of the big fish because they have a lot of mercury in them. Nothing farm raised because, again, who knows what kind of antibiotics they feed that.
Oh, my God. It's so bad.
So, and a little bit of duck. It's interesting. Been doing a lot more protein powders.
Yeah.
We bought a protein powder that Freddie from Beautifully Broken podcast, he said to try the fittest, and it's like nose to tail, and it's like organ meats and all that. But then my body, I'm drinking it, and my body's like, oh, you think you can fool me?
I'm like, listening to that.
Dang it.
I'm mostly vegan, so it's like, that's not my thing.
Right.
Well, that's just not what my body calls to. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's weird when you really tap in and pay attention and you're like, I know I feel better when I do X, you know, but I'm not monitoring some things that I need to. But it's been a search for me for other sources of protein. Yes. For sure.
What in have the you last found? Years. Tell me, because I need help.
One of my favorites, but it's vital wheat gluten. So it's like they take that out of the wheat. And so I make a seitan out of vital wheat gluten myself. And it's just like massively good protein. And my body handles it really well.
Oh, that's good.
So I like it. And and then also I'll do some soy. I like some vegan protein powders. And so, you know, I'm constantly...
What's your favorite vegan protein powder? Because I'm looking for that. So we don't do gluten. When I was a vegetarian in the past, I had made the best like marinated tofu steaks. Oh, so good. But I didn't realize at the time that, you know, soy in excess is not good for you.
Right.
And so my whole family ended up getting allergic to soy because I was feeding us tofu scramble and, you know, soy everything. And so
I try to limit my tofu.
Yeah.
I don't do a whole lot just because I've heard so much about soy and stuff. So I try to watch it.
Anti-nutrient.
And so it's and I have a sensitivity to cashews.
Oh no.
I know. Oh. So it's a real headache. And I don't like mushrooms. So even I know, I'm the biggest pain in the ass vegetarian ever. And so it's been like just more challenging.
Yeah.
But I'll use peanut butter powder mixed with I like Vega Sport peanut butter flavor. Mm-hmm. It's got a little less sugar and higher protein. So, you know, I can make a protein shake out of that and get 55 grams just right there.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's really good.
That is good.
For me. Yeah. So if I have at least that once a day, it makes a huge difference. And then if I'm doing vital wheat gluten or something like that, I try to. And then I just try to eat a lot of like really good veggies and nutritional yeast.
Oh, yes.
And that's a good staple.
My best friend lately.
It's a great staple for me. Yeah.
And it's so healthy. Oh my gosh, it has so many health
benefits.
It
does. And that's another source of like your
B vitamins.
12, I think it is, right?
B12, B6, B2, B1.
Because there's some that you can't get from a plant-based diet necessarily.
Yes.
So, so that's pretty much it. So the vegan seitan vital wheat gluten has been a big source because it's just like massive protein and nothing else. It's just so good.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're not eating gluten or whatever, because Justin doesn't eat it, but I don't feel like it's the same type of gluten as if I'm eating like wheat thins or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a lot more pure or something.
We'll have to do the research on it and just check it out.
I should do the research on it because I've wondered if he could eat that. And it just feels more like meat, you know?
Yeah. And so, it's satisfying.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I know that my body responds better and I'm able to keep that sugar craving like at bay or not even at bay, just non-existent
if
I'm eating more like that. And so anyway, for me, that's worked. And I feel like, you know, I'm such in the minority right now. I mean, I know Dave Asprey, you know, who you've worked with, you know, preaches, you know, carnivore and all this, but it's like, I liked a lot of what you said today about it's not a one size fits all. Like everybody's different, you know, maybe eggs totally work for you, you know, and just not for someone else that maybe has this genetic predisposition.
Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting thing. And I do love the fact that Dave is like, hey, there's not one size that fits all.
Oh, that's good. I feel like a lot of people... really, like I go
a lot of the biohacking community, I do feel like I think I was at a funeral the other day and I told Crew, she's this very spiritual woman that I work with off and on, and what was I talking about? Why was I talking about Crew?
We were talking about one size fits all.
I feel
mentality.
So weird as a biohacker not eating red meat anymore, because in the biohacker community,
it's so hot right now.
It's hot, you know, keto, carnivore, all of that, grass-fed, grass-finished and all that.
Yes.
And so I'm like, and I'm opening up Upgrade Labs, which I'm super excited about and I love, but I'm like, it just kind of feels...
You tell people you're not eating meat. Oh my God, a cardinal sin of biohacking.
What's wrong with you? So it's very interesting. And I just told her that it's very interesting to be in that position, but I'm like, you know, I'm who I am and I got to listen to my body. And on this spiritual journey, meat, something that came from a creature that was once upon a time living, and then, you know, you have to kill it before you eat it, it has a lower vibration. And so it will lower your vibration when you eat it. And so I believe that that's why my body lately is just like, girl, I don't want to eat that, you know. And Crew is saying, you know, to get your vibration where you want, eventually you're going to want to give up the fish and the chicken as well, probably. And it's a journey. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to rush myself. Just one step at a time as I'm finding other ways to get more protein in my body. And I'm going to go the way my body wants. So it's an interesting journey to just be like, okay, going from this almost keto carnivore lifestyle to more vegetarian. I'm like, okay, well, it's a journey and I'm hanging on and I'm ready to learn how to make it work.
Yeah. I mean, I that really resonates with me. Like, that's a big piece of my journey with the way that I choose to eat and what works for me is that same spiritual aspect. And I've gone back and forth. Like, when I've been vegan, I've been, you know, different things at different periods. I read a book, then I read Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer, which is a really tough to read expose of factory farming. And I just quit. I was like, I am not interested. And so, and you know, but still having some flex around it where, like, if you are, if my dad shot a deer or something, you know, like, or Justin shot a deer, you know, like, then, you know, maybe that's different. But I, after I did 5-MeO-DMT, I had fallen off that and been eating meat and eating like a paleo vegan kind of thing. And I had just been a lot more flexible, whatever, and not intentional with it. And then after I did 5-MeO-DMT, after a few months, I had a reactivation of it and just like things just happened in my body. And it was that spiritual awakening. This happened in 2019. And I've talked a lot about it on the show. And it was in an instant. I quit smoking. I went right back to vegan. I just had like these, and I had this healing of this sinus thing that I'd had. And I mean, it was like this intense, like all of a sudden. And I was like, I just didn't want it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, again, paying attention and getting super intentional about.
Yes. Yeah. Listening to your body, listening to your spirit body, your emotional body.
Mm-hmm. And when you're doing that spiritual work too, you are being more intentional and paying more attention like to yourself and putting yourself like in your own well-being in a higher place, right? Like that's what it's all about. So yeah.
Now, I don't know. A lot of people would say this is woo and don't believe it, but
I'm super woo. I don't give a shit.
I believe that when you
are vibrating. Fell on your foot and guided
to tell me what to do.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Yes, when I listen, I'm so guided. It's just I took a lot of years to learn how to tap in and listen to what my body or my higher self is telling me.
Same here.
But I think when you get to a certain vibrational level, I believe that you can extract from essence, from God, from the universe, the chi that you need. I think you wouldn't have to eat. I know that's crazy, but I believe that you could get to a vibrational level where you wouldn't need it.
Have you heard about those breatharians?
Yes, I have. Yes.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But we are human, right? We have human bodies that we do have to fuel.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we have the spiritual experience, but at the same time, here we are, right? Yeah. And so, like, you know, it's this beautiful thing of coming back to the grounding and accepting, like, okay, well, I'm also human.
Yes.
And like, sometimes I'm going to want a fucking pancake.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Every
That's
now
right. And then. Let's bring it back around to pancakes. Okay. So we are going to embark on recording more today, which I'm really excited to talk about perimenopause. So that's going to be next week's episode. But as we wrap up sugar, is there anything that we missed that we really needed to cover today with regards to sugar? Anything that you just want to maybe leave on?
Sure. I would like to mention fructose again. Just
okay.
Because I'm not against fruit in moderation, but fruit is fructose. Fructose is different than glucose. Your body takes it in and then it has to go to your liver. It can't just go right into your cells to be used as fuel. It has to go to your liver. Then your liver breaks down fructose. The first thing it turns it into is triglycerides, which is a fat. then it'll do glucose. So it's turning fructose into fat first before it turns it into sugar. So anyone who does high fructose corn syrup, like in sugary drinks, in cereals, mm-hmm. or tons of fruit, which is not high fructose, but it's fructose, you just have to be careful because you're making a lot of triglycerides, you're making fat, you can get fatty liver disease, then that fat goes and gets stored into your cells. So say you think you're doing perfectly and you're being very healthy, but you can't lose that fat. Are you eating a whole lot of fruit? And then there could be other things too, like are you eating, you know, too often that your insulin can't come down so that you can access the fat stores? Or are you stressed? Because when you're stressed, everything goes out the window. Your cortisol is high and your sugars are going to be high. But those were just the last few little points.
Okay, thank you. And I also want to say in this next episode,
yes,
for part two, when we talk about perimenopause, we are going to touch on women and fasting and some things like that. Because you mentioned, you know, women and fasting and how it's a little different for us. So I do want to touch on that in the next episode too. So just to leave everybody with that.
Perfect.
Thank you. How can everybody find you?
You can find me on Instagram or Facebook, Dr. Natalie Ledbetter. You can find Upgrade Labs 5th Street. That's Facebook, Instagram, or upgradelabs5thstreet.com is our website.
Which is opening very soon. Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
So excited. Yes. Like I'm excited to do this and bring awareness to it. Yay. As we, the timing is just great.
I'm super excited.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
Thank you, Natalie. And thank you to you for being here. Be sure to tune in next week too, as we talk perimenopause. Because again, I don't know anything. I'm like, why aren't we taught this? So that's what we're going to dive into. And I'm so excited. So follow Natalie, check out Upgrade Labs too. And thank you so much for being here. If this spoke to you, share it with a friend, have the conversation, get your monitors together. I'm going to be talking about mine. I'm really excited. Whatever I put in the show notes that Natalie recommends is what I'm going to get. And I'm going to order them for me and Justin. So come on the glucose. What is it called? CGM?
CGM, continuous glucose monitor.
I'm going to get on the CGM bandwagon. Yes. And please come with me. Mm-hmm. So this is not even an ad or anything. We're just going to do this. So thank you so much for being here today. I love you so much. You are a fucking badass just showing up for your life like this and learning more, right? And admitting that we don't know sometimes, like that's huge, right? Just like, let me at least begin to understand and pay attention to it. That's like some magic shit right there. So thank you so much for being here. I love you. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.